Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 2, 2019. Business Guru Dizes. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, October 2, 2019. A few days ago I spoke to Dr. Achaka Dizes, a top world expert in the field of management. Adizes says that love is the solution to all of life's problems. Hatred divides us and elicits rejection, while love is the key to success in business and organizations. My thoughts on Twitter, October 1, 2019. If we unite, covering all transgressions with love, this year will be good for us. Such a connection must be achieved daily, every day becoming warmer, genuinely closer to each other. Good year to all, good entry in the book of life. If one lives in the past, for he knows nothing about the future, then the period from the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, to the judgment day, Yom Kippur, is fearsome. The science of Kabbalah is facing the future and talks about these days as the most beautiful and kind. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of a good change. My new article on Medium, How to Rise Above Time, Space, and Motion and Communicate with the Dead. We are entering a new year, new Malkhut, the system that controls us and receives feedback. When we are connected, we can affect this system and the future becomes an exciting ascent to the level of infinite attainment, the feeling of immortality and the common system of nature. Friends. Where they had uneasy years. We tried to understand how to change our fate. Let's make the new year a year of new attainments when we control ourselves and our destiny, and we shall see a beautiful future before us and how we can advance toward it. Everything is in our hands. The government of unity should include opposing parties that, with wisdom and understanding, realize how to achieve connection and unity. Like a family where everyone has their own opinions, but for the sake of a common goal we need to discuss each issue and come to a mutually acceptable solution. There is no other way to succeed except for creating a government of national unity made of parties that really want to unite and are capable of sacrificing their interests on every issue for it. Then it will result in concessions and incompletion of each other. Just as their faces are different, so are their thoughts and desires. We are all completely different. Initially, unity cannot be achieved directly through our similarities. We need something that connects us with each other, so that we have a cause for which to cancel our differences. A few days ago I spoke to Professor Achaka Dizes, a top world expert in the field of management. Dizes says that love is the solution to all of life's problems. Hatred divides us and elicits rejection, while love is the key to success in business and organizations. Add to the integral. Every particular exists only in order to point to the whole. Therefore, there is no need to delve into details, there is nothing significant in them. Every individual is required only in order to connect with the whole or to get out of it and thus teach us to perceive the common whole. Through our actions, we discover the network of connections between us. Connecting them together, these actions are revealed as a system called Adam, the common soul. Adam HaRishon is a structure of connections between all of us. It is as if I look at a map and see a portrayal of roads connecting the cities. The same connection exists between all of us, it is not only three-dimensional but rather has an infinite number of dimensions. This network of connections is called man, Adam. The more connections the individual points that are detached from each other can establish between them, the more roads they can pave, the more they build the common connecting system, which is called Adam. Therefore, they are also considered people, because Adam is the result of their efforts. The Creator deliberately broke the integral picture of the world and made it discrete so that we, by ourselves, through individual, discrete actions, would reach a common, complete form. We are incapable of such a generalization, but each of our individual actions, despite its limitations, brings us closer to the complete picture. It is like calculating an integral, where the margin of error is added to the sum of rectangles. This addition completes those unaccounted angles, which we were unable to cover with our discrete shattering. This is called, the Creator will finish this work for me. We add one small rectangle after another to the best of our ability. But how can all these rectangles be made into a smooth curve? How can we measure the entire area if we do not have the possibility of reaching the real integral picture through our square thinking? We can only increase the number of rectangles. Therefore, there is an addition to the integral that the Creator adds for us. He helps us perform all the actions, but then He still has to complete this work for us, adding what is missing, which we ourselves are unable to take into account. If the Creator is revealed within the desire of the ten, then how can we increase this desire, the area of the revelation of the Creator? The desire of the ten can be increased only through connection with each other. This entire area is divided into pixels that we cannot change, make larger or smaller. We can only increase the number of these pixels and thereby make the picture clearer. This is how it works, like a computer that detects only 0 or 1. Yet, through the large number of zeros and ones, all the operations are performed. After the convention in Moldova, the structure of the entire world CLE has changed. Because of the strong connection we reached there, we have jumped to the next degree. Now we need to build a new CLE. Now during every communication, we must take into account that we are connecting with the common CLE, with a certain area of the common soul. For example, I connect with the Moscow group and understand that this is a part of the common soul. The sensation of this common CLE exists within me all the time. From now on, any connection in the ten is already a connection with the entire world CLE, as with the single whole. I feel that by connecting with friends in Europe, I influence my connection with friends in South America. We are constantly adding pixels to the general picture and receiving new inner sensations. Due to the birth of these new sensations in us, the picture is constantly expanding. Every pixel is a connection within the world CLE due to which the form of the larger vessel called a man, Adam, begins to appear more and more. From the first part of the daily Kabbalah lesson, the 18th of September 2019, correction of the shattering, preparation to the Europe Convention. Be the conducting channel for him. Therefore, it is a must for every nation to be strongly united within, so all the individuals within it are attached to one another by instinctive love. This does not mean that all the people in the nation, without exception, must be so. It means that the people of that nation, who sense that harmony, are the ones who make the nation, and the measure of happiness of the nation and sustainability are measured by their quality. Baal HaSulam, the nation, the force that strengthens the nation depends on its similarity to the upper force, which is oneness, that is, it is able to unite. Such a nation can overcome any difficulties as they manifest as breakings and imperfections that require correction. Therefore, we will have to encounter many problems so that we can cover all crimes with love, strengthening and uniting more and more. This is the way that perfection will be revealed. Every time greater crimes are revealed, we must build an opposite state, with love above it, and with no despair or retreat. This is how the world is built and how it must reach correction. How can the European nations achieve unity with the staggering number of refugees? The refugees only help the European countries understand that unity must be established above all differences. We need to see the wave of refugees as sent from the upper force, destruction for the sake of correction. 50 years ago, it was impossible to imagine the current refugee situation in Europe. Europeans protected themselves considerably, they preserved every nation's uniqueness, Germans, French, Italians. The borders were rigid and distinct. Suddenly, everything began to change swiftly. According to the upper program, Everyone must reveal the shattering they are in. How else can the necessity for correction be revealed if not by the introduction of a foreign force? Thus, several million people enter Europe who are foreign in culture, education, religion, and behavior. There is no greater opposite force. As a result, the Europeans are beginning to understand that there is no choice, the only thing to do is to unite. They are yet to reveal how to come to such unity. No matter how unrealistic it may seem due to religious differences, the most acute and irreconcilable, there is no other option. Europeans realize that they have to find the key to connection and unity. This key is found, first and foremost, in the integral method of connection explained by Kabbalah, covering all crimes with love. This is realized with the help of the upper force. We cannot achieve unity on our own, we can only create conditions where through Israel, a connecting channel, we will cause the upper force to act on masses of people. In order for this to happen, we need their compliance. The way they talk and act will start to change. It makes no difference that only yesterday they were fundamentalists, no matter what religion they were practicing, the way they thought, on which of the 70 nations they were a part of. Everyone will become as one nation. The main thing is that Europe is undergoing challenges and we must provide a solution. Therefore, uniting is very important. All the Kabbalistic groups across Europe and the entire world, especially now before the Bulgarian Congress. This is how we will be able to bring the light of unity and oneness to Europe. Europe is becoming more and more engulfed in darkness, in the feeling of helplessness, despair, of being faced with no way out. But we will see how contradictions will begin to subside, opinions will start changing, as will thoughts and desires. Everything is resolved in thought and the thoughts will become new. How is it possible that those who were fierce fundamentalists, nationalists, unwilling to talk to anyone who differs from them in the slightest would suddenly change? The upper light is able to reform anything. As he is intensifying the darkness right now, so will he correct it. The main thing for us is to be the conducting channel for him. This is our work. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 13th of September 2019, Unification of the People, Nation. Correct interaction with spiritual forces. Question: in our world, a child cannot do good deeds, but he can acquire knowledge. Are these things inseparable in spirituality? Answer: there are a lot of strange phenomena in our world. One of them is that we can receive strength without knowledge. A child can grab something, do something, and harm himself and others. This is impossible in the spiritual world. You can detect, see, and find a connection with spiritual forces and objects only to the extent that you interact with them correctly. You see how to influence them and what consequences your impact on them has. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 16th of June 2019. New Life number 1156. The Doctor-Patient Relationship.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the role of the doctor, about the special relationship between the doctor and patient, and how can we use it in the best possible way in order to make our life much, much better. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, one of the most special relationships that we sometimes have in life is between the doctor and patient. Of course, we do everything we can in order to stay healthy. But if we already have to go to the doctor, then we reach a state where we trust ourselves in the hands of the doctor. It's something very special. We almost never do it with anyone else. we really trust our health, ourselves, in the hands of the doctor, and allow the doctor to take care of us. So we'd like to take a look at the doctor-patient relationship, but first of all, I'd like to ask about the doctor himself, about the character of the doctor, of the caregiver. Many times I remember as a child, for example, I had a friend, she knew from young age that she wants to be a doctor. It's not something that you feel like doing when you're 30 or 40, but you're like born with it, kind of inclination. Yeah. What is this inclination to want to heal someone else? I can't explain. It's something very special. It is. I don't know if she excels in it. Because, for example, a person who likes drawing, and then he finds out, is he talented or not? Is he good at it and so on? With doctors, it's a problem, because we can't discern nowadays whether he wants to or is he capable. Meaning, maybe a person has the desire but not the skills. For example, I grew up in a family of doctors, and I know what it means to be a doctor. It's a profession that's with you all the time. A doctor, I'd say that it's not a profession, but it's a way of life. It's a worldview. It's how you look at people. I remember we went somewhere when I was still young, a teenager, and afterwards I heard how my mom talked to my dad about it, or the other way around. How they look at people. Suppose we went to visit someone or something. They're doctors. As if they're examining things with their phonendoscope. The condition of the face is so-and-so. And you can see such and such limitations. And it always kind of made me laugh. How is this related at all? Why can't they see things in a simple way? Like, two people. No, they can't. What do they see? They see a person's health condition, the health of the body, the health of the psyche, according to how a person behaves, and according to what they can evaluate in a more internal way. I don't know. I don't look at things that way. And even though that, I heard these things many times. Probably because I'm really not a doctor, and they really wanted me to be one. I was really against it. How would you characterize people that have an inclination to be doctors? They take care of animals, cats, dogs. We can really see it from childhood. Today a bit less, but I had this friend. I grew up where there were small houses and this rural kind of street. So one of my friends, in his pocket, he always had either a frog or a little white mouse, and used to take the mouse out. Eventually he became a veterinarian. I don't know. But for sure there was, and he takes the mouse out and gives him something to eat, and the mouse doesn't run away. He feels them. Yeah, they really feel each other, like friends. And he feeds them, and then puts the mouse back into his pocket, and runs around like a child doing different things, and the mouse is in his pocket. Okay, so what I want to find out is that people who eventually became doctors and people who did not become doctors. Suppose we divide the world into doctors and non-doctors. The people who became doctors, are these people that have a stronger inclination for order, to complete what's missing, to correct what's broken. What kind of inclination do they have that made them doctors that other people don't have? It's good to be a doctor. You make lots of money. This is one thing. Another thing is, a Jewish mom pushes her child to be a doctor. But not all children become doctors even if they're pushed to be one. Well, at least a lawyer then. Okay, but before the mom, before the money, about the inner inclination. Today, I really don't see anyone choosing this profession according to their heart's inclination. No such thing. It's in rare cases, meaning it's more of a social influence. Suppose an artist. You can't just be an artist. You have to have an inclination or a musician. But usually, if we're talking about ordinary professions, people choose their profession according to their possibilities and how much money can you make. I completely understand the social element and the desire because there is a kind of prestige about it, about this profession. And suppose we take the desire to take care of someone else. It's a very special desire to take care of someone if it really comes from the heart. And it's a kind of desire to put things in order. Just as an example, my father, he was a mechanic. And he really loved taking things apart and putting them back together again. It really gave him pleasure. And he knew how to do it beautifully. There are people that know how to do the same with a human body. How to help it to regain order, restore order. In English, a disease is called disorder, like something went out of order, and there's a desire to bring it back into order, to put people back together again, as if. I understand. I can say that I'm somehow related to this profession, but in regard to the soul, this is interesting. Yeah, but it's a bit different, where the corporeal phenomena isn't really that important to me with the different tests, with the treatments, with the chemical substances that are being put into the body. But what's important to me is how to arrange a person's inner world by which he reaches his main inner balance. And it says that as a result of this, and I know, I agree, as a result of this, a person reaches also balance on the corporeal level, physically meaning, yeah. Okay, now let's look at things a bit more systemically. We have a society that consists of people. Some of the people become doctors. Sometimes a person's ill and he goes to the doctor. What is the role of that person who became a doctor in the general system of society? Ill people come to him and he tries to make them healthy again. What is his role in the system? In today's state, to succeed and earn as much as possible, and that's it. Okay, I'm not asking about today or about earnings. Today the system is terrible. Let's put that aside for a moment. Nature created mankind, and there are ill people and those that cure them. All throughout history, how it used to be in past generations, the role of the doctor or the healer was to keep people healthy, not to allow them to become ill. Not to wait until they will become ill, but to come to them, like in ancient China, that you used to pay when you're healthy. When you're ill, you stop paying the doctor. Okay, I understand. Imagine, you pay for your health care every month. You pay one way or another. But the moment you're ill, you stop paying. Why? Because no one made sure that I'll stay healthy, so I don't pay them. See how rational it is. Yeah, I wish. Very far from our reality today. So this is how it used to be in the past. So much so that doctors were beaten, were killed, if they didn't take enough care according to the understanding of society, that there won't come a plague or different things like that. So, first of all, it was about prevention, always. So, teaching people how to stay healthy. But still, there are illnesses. Now I want to ask about that. Suppose a person became ill. He comes to the doctor. The doctor examines him, gives a diagnosis. After that, he decides how to treat him. Looking at this entire relationship from the outside in, I see that as if nature gave tremendous responsibility in the hands of one person over the life and fate of another person, as if he's the representative of the upper force here. Exactly. Now, the patient trusts his health in the hands of the doctor. One doctor or another, what is this relationship where one person is so dependent on another person and what forces are given to the other person to be in this state? We are in a very special system. Look, our parents give birth to us, take care of us, do different things for us. You see, a newborn baby, it's just a flesh body and that's that. It's all up to you. What do you do with that baby? How do you take care of the baby? This is how we are, all life through, even when we're adults, even in the hands of the doctor. In the hands of the doctor of society, doesn't matter what forces, only we're not yet aware who's turning us like a baby from side to side and what's being done with us. We're only not aware of it. Suppose Nitsa. She's beautiful, modern, very educated and everything. And she herself doesn't understand how she being taken care of. That she's put like this, put like that. This is done to her, that's done to her. And this is how it is with everyone. Therefore, don't ask only about doctors in particular, but there is a system here that takes care of us without asking us at all. Anything. And that we choose which doctor according to some kind of proficiency, according to different inquiries that we make, should we, shouldn't we, and so on. Meaning, the upper providence gave a doctor, as it says, a doctor was given permission to heal, and not only the doctor, and to give a teacher the permission to teach, you think that it's less important? He shapes the child for life. So really, why is it called so that a doctor was given permission to heal? Who gives the doctor permission to heal or cure? Nature does. Nature gives him permission to cure, of course. So beyond the fact that he's talented and everything, no, this is how it's arranged in the general system of nature, where the representatives of this general nature in our world are different such doctors, teachers, our parents, that take care of a person in different ways in order to bring him to the probably correct state where a person already uses his free choice in order to realize the goal for which he was born for and exists. And so especially, these are first of all his parents, then his teachers, and then doctors. What should a patient's attitude be towards the doctor? Up until now, we talked more about the doctor in relation to the patient. What should the patient's relation toward the doctor be? He has to go to a doctor that he believes, not half, not a quarter, but 100%, because the success of the treatment depends on the trust that he has in the doctor, to the extent to which he believes in the doctor, depends also the success of the treatment, because still, we consist of emotions and intellect and different systems that influence us, and the nervous system and the system of how you think, and different systems where I'm in self-persuasion, how much that helps me to get up and become healthy and so on. Therefore, I have to choose a doctor that first and foremost, I trust in, that I can rely on. Okay. And only this way, if we're talking about health and doctors. In regard to teachers, it's the same. The only thing we don't choose is our parents, but all the rest. I trust in my parents and in myself that together we choose our teachers and doctors, and also I rely on society in this regard. Doctors have this thing called a doctor's oath. Before they become doctors, they take this special oath. Well, you're saying, well, okay, so maybe I'm aiming at the optimum state, where it's obvious that all of the systems that we have built today, they really ruined everything. But at its basis, how it's supposed to be, it has no basis today. In the past, the basis was that the doctor has as if a mission from the upper force. He's on mission from the upper force, from the Creator, that he can go and bestow to the patients. And also when he bestows to the patients, he does it with the help of that upper force. So it's not enough that he took the Hippocratic Oath or something, but that he all the time walks around with the upper force with him, and thanks to his help, can he heal. So beyond his proficiency and skills and everything, on the inside he keeps, otherwise it won't work, meaning only skills won't help. This is what true medicine is. It seems to us that we give some chemical substance or treatments, and as a result, the real doctor is the doctor that ascribes himself to the upper force, that identifies with them, that's really in connection with them. So it's like, for example, a doctor that's going to perform surgery. So he himself, beyond the fact that he brings his skills with him, he's a messenger. This is how he feels. But he feels this way modestly, not that I'm the Creator's right hand. No, it's very hard work, lots of concentration, intentions, very strong commitment. What intention should he have? That he is really now in connection with the upper force, and that he passes through himself all of this good influence onto the patient, because this is his obligation. It's like they're people that communicate the upper force to people that are studying it. Isn't teaching the same? I see that you see a parallel between doctors and teachers. Of course. Okay, we're in an era of advanced technology. In a few years, computers, robots will replace most of our professions. Already now we have in the world of medicine plenty of computers and robots and many things. And also you just emphasized that a real doctor is a doctor that feels that he's all in all an emissary that's connected to the upper force that passes the healing force onto the patient. Now, if I'm not a doctor who's connected to the upper force but to a computer, and they will heal me, then they're not connected to the upper force. How will they heal me then? First of all, A doctor also, all in all, wants to loyally pass on to you the forces of nature for them to work on you. So what's the difference whether this machine is built correctly and it works properly, or it's the doctor? We're not cured by the doctor having special exalted intentions, pure ones. If he does it loyally, then that's that. We have to acknowledge the connection between chemical substances and different phenomena in the human body that bring us back to balance. So if in the future robots and computers will take the place of doctors, we won't lose as a result. We'll only gain. For sure, I'll go to a robot. Why, actually? I don't believe any living doctor. Why? What are you afraid of that doesn't frighten you in a machine? If I pay him good money, then maybe he'll try to be good. Or maybe not that much. Maybe he'll want me to come again. And a robot, a machine, depends on how you program it. If you program it correctly. And if not, that it's good that I'll come and pay again and so on. Eventually, we depend on the egoistic desire of people, on the extent of its correction. Previously, you said that the doctor has to feel that he is in connection with the upper force. What should a doctor's attitude toward the upper force be while he's taking care of a patient, while he's treating a certain patient? As an emissary? What do you mean? As an emissary of the upper force. And there's even a special prayer for doctors, you know that? That he has to say, well, it's actually the heart that has to say, that his heart will feel wet, that he is an emissary of the upper force, because all of our illnesses come as a result of the disbalance between the forces of nature in us. I'm a system. And in this system, their inner and external forces, all of them together, collide with one another and have to reach some kind of balance. And if they're not balanced, then it's felt as a disease. I feel bad. And the expertise of a doctor is to bring me to balance. So, there are chemical substances in order to do it, and psychological and psychosomatic influences, and so on. And this is something we have to understand. And therefore, first and foremost, as a doctor, I have to know that I have to balance out the forces of nature that operate in this system called my patient, in which I have to balance these forces. How do I balance them? By physical kind of influence, psychological, mental, and so on, in order to bring him to that. Meaning, I have to understand these systems. It's not just so. I have to be as an emissary here. What does it mean to be the emissary of the Creator in this case? I have to see where in the systems of that person there is a lack of balance with the Creator, for him to be balanced with the Creator. And I'm in between as an emissary. What does it mean to be an emissary? These are high exalted matters. Let's hope that we'll reach this. That we're headed towards this? Yes. And we'll learn how to do it. Meaning, eventually, we reach a single state, which is what? Where all the professions will come together into one profession of how to bring a person to balance in all aspects. Yes. Another question. Previously, you said something about trust, that when a patient comes to the doctor, he has to trust in him, otherwise the process won't work. Before I trust in a certain doctor, suppose Nitz is a doctor, you're a doctor, and I'm a patient, I have a problem. How do I know who to trust in. Maybe that's phase B. How do I choose the doctor that I'd like to put all of my trust into? According to the environment. Meaning what? You ask around. You ask the environment, what is it trust in? You have no other examination, meaning to get recommendations. Yeah? Okay, now, we know that there are different kinds of doctors. There are specialists, and there are even better specialists. You just said that the thing is to bring a person to balance. Then, I don't need a real specialist. It's enough to go to someone that will sit and pray for me, so that I'll regain my balance. What do you need? Doctors and science for, and the world of diagnoses, and medicine and things. All in all, I need someone to pray for me to regain my balance. That's it. But apparently we see that it's not enough. The question is why? What was medicine developed for? Well, this is a very broad subject. We can't go into it right now. I also saw it in Japan. Next week, I'm traveling to India. And I was to other places in the world. I was in South America in different places. The natural, holistic, different religious kinds of healing. It's endless. We'll talk about this on our next show. But in the meantime, believe that I can heal you. Okay, we talked about this from many angles. What is the role, the bottom line, what is the role of a doctor? To see his patient healthy and happy. To see, what do you mean, to see? To see, a judge has only what his eyes see, as it says. To see every person who's related to me as a doctor, healthy and happy. He really has to see this picture when he's working. He has to enjoy it, to live in it. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.